We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody. Dan, the Charlie Kirk Show. Kevin McCarthy retires, and then the two attack vectors that are bubbling up from the Atlanta magazine, Trump being a dictator and Christian nationalism. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Support our program, charliekirk.com, and click on the supporters tab, charliekirk.com. Click on the supporters tab. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com and attend America Fest, the biggest speakers in the movement, just days away, amfest.com, amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Lots to cover today. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to resign from Congress at year end. Kevin McCarthy speaks to reporters after he was ousted from the position of Speaker by a vote of the House of Representatives at the U.S. Capitol. He's not only not running for re-election, he is resigning. Quote, "I know my work is only getting started," McCarthy said in an op-ed. The announcement immediately rocketed McCarthy right now to the top of the private sector's target list of former members of Congress who would be powerful lobbyists to a company's payroll. The announcement, McCarthy was a prolific fundraiser as a Republican leader and later speaker, where he built a deep network of CEOs and major donors. Marjorie Taylor Greene tweets, "Well, now in 2024, we'll have a one-seat majority in the House of Representatives." You understand what happened here? And so they take out Santos to reduce our majority. Remember, we went all in on that. We said this was a silly and stupid idea. He's a clown, but what are you doing? And then McCarthy says, we're done. So it's an open seat. This is intentional political suicide. And this is Kevin McCarthy getting back at the House Freedom Caucus, saying, you guys got rid of me. Have a nice life. Marjorie Taylor Greene says, well, hopefully no one dies. Yeah, I mean, someone could resign. All it takes is one or two more rhinos to resign. With Kevin McCarthy, and the House of Representatives will go to Democrats. So now a one-seat majority, everybody. One-seat majority. And according to all public reports, Kevin McCarthy's seat will be filled by Gavin Newsom. Now, there will be a special election. It will probably eventually be won by a Republican. And 105 Republicans last week decided to kick out George Santos to reduce our majority even further. And they knew, by the way, many of those 105 Republicans knew this McCarthy thing was coming. So Republicans, so bitter about the motion to vacate, about the effort by Matt Gaetz and many others, that they want to literally hand the gavel to the Democrats. And Kevin McCarthy, he holds a lot of power. And he is saying, see you later, on his way out. He's saying, have a nice life, guys. That is where we're at. Now, who's going to actually fill the seat? We do not know. He's basically saying, enjoy your one-seat majority. And I will say there's one part of this that bothers me is, you know, obviously, this is ridiculous what Kevin is doing. He shouldn't do this. It jeopardizes the country. But the people that pushed for Kevin to be removed, you guys expect that they won't fight back? What was the plan here? Remember, I said, oh, no, don't worry. We'll get a new speaker and all this. This was always on the table. They get rid of Santos. McCarthy goes scorched earth. Okay. Basically, the House of Representatives, we might lose the House before the election. which means obviously no impeachment of Biden. We're supposed to believe we're going to impeach Biden. Guess what? Ken Buck, done. He says we're not impeaching Biden. The guy is a traitor to the United States. We might not have the votes. And I want you to understand, Kevin very well could wait it out one more year. No, he's not doing that. Kevin says, have a nice life, guys. You guys got rid of me. You don't want me. Enjoy. He's done. McCarthy says, I know my work is only getting started. This is so unbelievably dysfunctional. We have a country that is being overrun every single day by illegals. We're borrowing $2 trillion. We're on the verge of two world wars in Israel and Ukraine and Russia. We have a traitor in the White House. And our party, which is supposed to be the opposition party, is deciding to become less powerful. I know my work is only getting started, Kevin McCarthy writes in an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. In fact, let me get that Wall Street Journal op-ed. This is political suicide, everybody. Not it is national and civilizational suicide, writes in an op-ed here in the Wall Street Journal. Oh, and then Representative Patrick McHenry is bowing out. At least he's not running for... You know, the typical way you do this is you say, I'm not going to run for re-election. And then you just see out your term and you give a last speech and you allow the handing of the baton. This is not just unusual. This is an insult. This is a throbbing middle finger to all of you. And I don't like it at all. But I also want to make sure... Did you expect the regime not to fight back? All this should have been gamed out, guys. And it wasn't. Political suicide. Through and through. And George Santos, total clown. He had an unbelievable voting record. Really great according to the Turning Point Action voting scorecard. We went through that last week. Santos would at least have us a two-seat majority. So if, I don't know, somebody dropped dead, we'd still have a majority. We asked the question, what was the point of voting him out? And it's because 105 Republicans voting him out would say, wow, Republicans like us. Santos, what he did is indefensible. The guy's a total clown. He said he wasn't going to run for re-election. Whatever. By the way, if you've spent any time around some of these guys of Congress, they're not exactly spring chickens. One of these octogenarians could drop dead at any time. I mean, we have a slim majority. And the Democrats, they've been working this thing. They've been working. By the way, we just had another member of Congress resign to go become a college president, as if that couldn't wait. And excuse me while I state the obvious. This doesn't seem as if duty and service to country is the priority here. It is revenge and grudges. So somebody says here, they email us, but Charlie, weren't you skeptical about removing Kevin? Yeah, I kind of was. And I beg you to prove to me that Speaker Johnson has been an upgrade, number one. Number two, the regime has a lot of power. Okay, so now Kevin is resigned. They obviously were behind the Santos thing, the 105 establishment Republicans. Are we in a better position to save the country? The answer is of course not. We have intentionally reduced our majority to such a state, and I hope it was worth it. And maybe you guys think it was. I don't think Speaker Johnson is worth it. I don't think he's an upgrade. I think Speaker Johnson has been exactly the same with Bible verses around it. In fact, in some way, he's been worse. If you guys disagree, let me know. Tell me what Speaker Johnson has done. He's done a laddered CR. He gets praise from Chuck U. Schumer. He gave Joe Biden exactly what he wanted. So there's a... The question is this. It's not totally... Vacant House seats are filled through special elections. So there'll be a special election at some point this spring. And Kevin is doing this as revenge. He's coming back with total revenge against the people that removed him.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I try to take care of myself. I try to eat right. And I love fruits and vegetables. I'd rather have them than anything else, but I know I don't get nearly enough. So I thought I'll try it for 2 months and no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work after that, then I've tried it and at least I know. Within 2 weeks, I noticed a huge difference in my energy, sleeping better at night, and just energy. I would get up in the morning and get up, not just sit around. You guys have got to try this. You have to try it. You owe it to yourself to try it.
The wife and I both think it's done a lot of good. We both think it's improved your overall day-to-day how you feel. And we've turned everybody onto it. Our kids are on it. We've got brothers and sisters that are on it. We got some neighbors we've turned onto it. So we're very pleased with the product and the results. It's not like you're Superman, but you definitely know you're healthier. You're going to lose weight. And I've never heard that said in any of the commercials, but by golly, you do.
I work in a school, so I'm around like 1,000 kids a day constantly. And so I wash my hands and use alcohol on them probably 100 times a day or better. And my hands are always cracking open and splitting. And I did not have that this entire winter. And I bet you anything, this is me, I bet you anything it's balance of nature, because it's the only thing I've done different. Like the guy on your commercial says, I'm going to keep on taking it the rest of my life, and I feel the same way. It's going really good. I mean, I feel better. I've got more energy, and, you know, I can go through my day better.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code CHARLIE.
Why can't McCarthy just see out the term? See out the term. It's a 1-2 punch. It's remove Santos, which is totally unnecessary, and then he resigns. What's next is the question. What's the third move? By the way, McHenry is serving out his term. Why can't McCarthy? Oh, Bill Johnson from Ohio is going to be a college president. I guarantee you that McCarthy knew about that. After expulsion of Santos, Bill Johnson expected an early exit. Some Republicans have voiced concerns about the razor-thin majority. So now we have a 1-2-3, potentially four-part move. Get ready for this, everybody. You are living through some synchronicity. This is all synchronized. I hope you're seeing it. It's very orchestrated. It's centralized. So, okay, it goes Santos. Then Bill Johnson unnecessarily resigns. McCarthy unnecessarily resigns. And look, I want to be very clear. You know, some of you guys email me and very nasty, and that's all right. You guys got to blow up some steam. I get it. I'm not an apologist for McCarthy or anything. I want to be able to govern. I like majorities, okay? I like 2 or 3 or 4 majorities. This is not good. Representative Bill Johnson selected as the next president of Youngstown State University. Great. Wasn't Jim Tressel the head of Youngstown State University, the former Ohio State football coach? I think so. Could be wrong. Jim Tressel, one of the best college coaches that got ran out unnecessarily. I could do a whole show on Jim Tressel. So we've lost McCarthy, end of the month. We lose Johnson. We kick out Santos. And here we are. Over the past few months, almost a dozen House GOP members have declared their intentions to retire from office. Now, even if we are able to hold on to a 1-seat majority, it is likely that we'll lose the House. The only way that we keep on the House is Donald Trump does what Donald Trump does. Massive turnout, has huge coattails, and he just carries. He does an unbelievable job with this. He just defies all the polling, and the overflow effect helps dramatically in these swing districts. It's looking more and more like Donald Trump is the greatest asset that Republicans have for get out the vote and for messaging. It's so funny because if you read the Koch brother memo, the Nikki Haley, the Nimarata Haley memo, they'll tell you the opposite. No, I'm telling you. Donald Trump is the only way that you could fix all this. It's really Trump or bust at this point, which is exactly why they're writing these nauseating articles in The Atlantic. They're trying to create the prerequisite to kill Donald Trump. They're trying to line up the pieces for his assassination. McCarthy's timeline means he would depart before the February 13th special election to replace expelled Representative George Santos, further cutting the Republican majority down to 220 members versus 213 Democrats. This means House Republicans lose just 3 votes before requiring Democratic support to pass measures. So what's the next move? Is there somebody else that's now going to just resign at the end of the month and saying, I'm just going to give the keys to the Democrats? Are there deals being made by lobbyists and insiders? Now it gets to be really, really tricky, everybody. Think about it. You can go find some 75-year-old rhino from Tennessee who wants a payday, and they say, hey, if you resign, things are going to look really good for you. And he gets a couple million bucks. And like that, the House majority goes to the Democrats. If you are a Democrat operative that lies, steals, and cheats, that's a great deal for you. By the way, this Bill Johnson being head of Youngstown State, I'm just supposed to believe that came out of nowhere. This seems very orchestrated. Somebody made a couple calls, get Bill Johnson out of the way, boom. And they gamed it out. And so now we have a one-seat majority. The McCarthy special election will be sometime in the spring. It should stay in Republican hands. But McCarthy won't even see out the end of his term. He's got a lot of business to do. And he's going to go make a lot of money. He's going to go lobby his colleagues that he got elected. So he's going to resign and he's going to go, you know, get paid $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a month or whatever. Same thing as Paul Ryan, right? Paul Ryan made a lot of money becoming a lobbyist, sitting on boards, you know, respectful. And by the way, the George Santos district will probably go Democrat. He barely won before. And Jeffries is going to pour a bunch of money into it. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Exciting news to share about saving babies by providing ultrasounds. Right now, there is a dollar-for-dollar match doubling the number of babies you'll save with preborn. There are babies alive today about to celebrate their first Christmas because of what we did together a year ago at this time providing ultrasounds. And right now, you can save twice as many babies. Maybe you're already wondering about end-of-the-year giving and want to give every dollar, get the most results. Or maybe you just want to know that a girl making this decision deserves the truth, so that next year at this time, she's picking out a Christmas stocking for her baby's first Christmas. It's beautiful to think about. Your gift of $15,000, somebody out there can do it, I'm sure, will provide not one, but two ultrasound machines. $280 saves 10 babies. $28 a month saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And right now, any gift saves twice as many babies with preborn. I'm a donor to this organization. We love this organization with the Kirk family. Call 833-850-2229. Full endorsement, amazing people. Click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. Go to charliekirk.com right now and click on the preborn banner. Donald Trump had a great town hall yesterday with Sean Hannity. He was great. I watched the whole thing. He looked great. He was sharp. He was using the we and the us statements, which I think are very, very powerful. The more Donald Trump uses we and us, the broader his appeal. And he went out of his way in a very powerful approach. He said, look, it is our movement together. It is you, the American people, us. We are going to take back the country. The more we and us statements, the better. He talked about the issues in a very, very powerful way. I thought it was hilarious the way he answered the dictator question and by the way, that's one of the reasons we're bringing this up, because there's two attack vectors happening simultaneously. Again, when you see an op, you have to call out an op. There are two ops that are happening. They're trying to do the Trump is going to be a dictator to lay the prerequisite to kill him, assassination attempt, and also this Christian nationalist thing that we're going to have to unpack. They're being regime supported with books, op-eds, media, interviews, all of it together. It's a simultaneous pre-election pincer movement to lay the foundation, because they're freaking out that Trump is doing well in the polls. So they're going to try to compare. By the way, this is why the BBC comes out with this Julius Caesar documentary. This is why they came out with Napoleon, in my opinion, and it was a terrible trash movie. They're trying to build this narrative of, oh my goodness, strong man, central power. It's Operation Mockingbird that they're doing via Netflix, Hulu, mass media. So there's two things happening. There's the Trump is a dictator, and also Christian nationalism is going to come over and take over the country, and you have to be really scared of that. It's widespread, and it's not going to go away. They're going to try to make the 2024 election about those two things. Don't vote red, even though you've gas prices wide open, border losing your country, can't afford anything, inflation, dollar diminishing, economy's terrible, your kids are getting transed, and you're losing your country because, oh my goodness, you want to still be able to have abortions, and you're really scared of Christian nationalism, and Trump is going to be Julius Caesar. Okay, so Trump answers this question, and it's so funny. Now, I really like Sean Hannity. I get along with him. I think he did too much follow-up on the dictator question, in my opinion. It was like two and three times he followed up. It's a false premise. Why are you even taking the premise from The Atlantic and asking the question? Don't take the media's talking point and then platform it. And it's almost as if you are mainstreaming and you are giving credence and giving credibility to something that has none. You're furthering a talking point that exists to justify rigging the election. And this is the other point. It's a great point, Blake. It's a really good point. That when you have millions of people that think they're running against a dictator, they're willing to fill out an extra ballot. They're willing to cheat. If you think you're running up against Adolf Hitler, it gives you, this is Dennis Prager's point too, he's done a great job of making this point, it gives you the micro moral justification to cheat. So all of a sudden you get sent three ballots and you say, well, running against Hitler, I might as well fill them all out. And you can sleep well at night. And by the way, I've said this before, and it gets totally taken out of context by the media, so I need to be very precise. If you're actually running against Hitler, you have a moral imperative to do whatever it takes to make sure he doesn't become president or whatever. Of course, you're trying to tell me that in the Nationalist Socialist Workers, if all of a sudden you got teleported back in time and you had an opportunity to do something to prevent Adolf Hitler from becoming the Führer of Germany, of course you would do whatever you possibly could. That's why they do these media operations, is they want to incentivize the micro-cheating, the extra ballot being filled, the loose signature verification, the mule activity, the election worker that doesn't align the signatures. So they create the prerequisite where the people think they're running up against Mussolini. It's very, very important. Okay, here's Donald Trump asked by Sean Hannity. You're living through a two-part pincer movement, okay? It is Trump is going to be Julius Caesar and, oh my goodness, Christian nationalism. I'll prove it to you in a two-part move. It's all Operation Mockingbird. Don't fall for it. And we need a vast and quick counter on it before this further metastasizes. Play cut 55.
You are promising America tonight. You would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
Except
Look,
what?
He's going crazy. Except for day one.
Meaning?
I want to close the border and I want to drill.
That's
drill,
not a, that's
drill.
That's not,
oh, no.
That's not retribution. I got
I'm going to be... I'm going to be, you know, he keeps, we love this guy. He says, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no, other than day one. We're closing the border and we're drilling. After that, I'm not a dictator.
So that sounds to me like you're going back to the policies when you were president.
That's
all right.
Exactly.
Okay, first of all, I think it's hilarious. You know, when you think of a dictator, you think of mass deportations, which you need it and all that. But he says, I'm going to use my dictatorial powers, of which is all just a joke. He's joking, okay, to drill. It's like of all the things on his platform, he's talking about retribution. By the way, this is a guy that's spied on, twice impeached. He's facing 700 years in prison. He's facing 700 years in federal prison. And the first thing he answers is drilling. I think it's hilarious. I think it's absolutely hilarious. Of all this at the border. Of all the stuff, by the way, that's super important. Let me just be perfectly clear. It's unbelievably important. But Sean Hannity asked this question. Well, to be clear, you're not going to do retribution. And Trump, his instincts are so good. You could just see Trump being like, what the hell are you talking? Sean, knock this. That basically Trump's a bit, that's Trump's very nice, very kind way to say to Sean, knock it off. I could tell you're reading a script. That's basically Trump's answer. Like it's Trump's. That's the most polite FU that Donald Trump has ever given in an interview. Because I like Sean a lot. Sean's always been very good to me. But it's very obvious Sean was reading a script from some executive, okay? Sean was told to ask this question. Because he followed up like two, when I was watching, I said, what in the fresh heck are you doing? You take some sort of talking point from the Atlantic, and that is what you spend your time with Republican primary voters in Iowa? That Donald Trump is going to rise and become Alexander the Great? It was so scripted, I didn't like it. But I thought Donald Trump's answer was hilarious. Only on day one, and we're going to drill, baby. It's a troll is what it is. It's a troll of the media because the media expects him to be like, oh, he's going to be a dictator. He's going to come after the Washington Post. Understand these people are so weak and they're so feckless that they actually do lay awake that Donald Trump is going to become some sort of Red Caesar and march tanks through the streets and he's going to bulldoze the Washington Post office. Like that really bothers them. Instead, he says, and in all of my dictatorial powers in the tradition of Napoleon and Julius Caesar and Marcus Aurelius, I will expand fracking in the Permian Basin. It's perfect. And by the way, the border. So what does he do? He counters this stupid, silly question and this baseless narrative with two unbelievably popular things. Lower gas prices, aka energy independence, national security, and a closed border. I love it. I love it. And he also kind of plays into this whole thing because here's the answer that the regime wants him to give. Donald Trump would say, oh no, I won't be a dictator. He's so well media trained, Trump is. He doesn't even repeat it. He jokes around with it. He toys with it. He taunts them. He trolls them. He shows that he's in control. You cannot teach media masterclass like this. You can't. Instead, he somehow pivots to talking about oil. But let's be very clear, and Trump knows this. The even better answer he'll give is, by the way, Sean, some of these people deserve retribution. James Comey should be in Gitmo. Andrew McCabe, Bruce and Nelly Orr, Merrick Garland spying on Catholic priests and people going to Latin Mass. When Donald Trump says, I am your retribution, do you know why the elites get so nervous when he says that? Because they know they deserve it. That's why. Deep down, the elites know that they've been doing some very dark things. And deep down, I believe every human being has a soul, no matter how hard you try to suppress that soul. And they know that they have been doing the activities and the practices of the demonic. And Donald Trump is talking about justice. He's talking about justice. And so, yes, you could do the oil thing. You could do, I think it's hilarious. But the second thing is, Sean, hold on a second. The Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, you always wear the CIA pin, Sean. They deserve to be held accountable. The American people have been used and abused by the oligarchs. They see their dollar diminishing in value. They see their kids being taught to hate the country. If there's not retribution for an open border, then what good are elections? And before we get off our high horse, what the heck do you think Joe Biden is doing to meme man Douglas Mackey or to Donald Trump? They're doing retribution. Now it's time for us to administer our own. And what I didn't like about the question of Sean Hannity was almost begging him as if we're somehow better than this. Oh, well, you know, you're not going to, you know, come after, or you're not going to go after. We want justice. There's not a single person who went to jail for Russiagate. Not a single person who went to jail for spying on Trump. Not a single person. And we're supposed to take this Jack Smith on face value? No. The mandate that Donald Trump is building is the American people want the administrative state. They want the shadow government to be put in handcuffs and perp walks. So this whole kind of media narrative, well, to be clear, you're not going, what? Come on, Sean, you're better than that. Just throw the script away. I don't like, and again, Sean has always been very good to me. And I owe a lot to Sean. He's put me on his show a lot. I really like him. But that whole dialogue really frustrated me. I want your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. All right, if I just go to the Atlantic website, which remember is owned by Loreen Powell Jobs. Loreen Powell Jobs is one of the most powerful individuals. Can we get a picture of Loreen Powell Jobs? Our friend Alex Marlowe from Breitbart.com did amazing work, the most of anyone, to really profile in detail Loreen Powell Jobs' influence. She's the widow of Steve Jobs, worth approximately $20 billion. She owns the Atlantic magazine, the Emerson Collective. I believe Time magazine is also owned by a Democrat donor, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so Loreen Powell Jobs is not talked about a lot. She hangs out in the shadows. $20 billion. Anyway, so if you read any of her websites right now, they're pushing this dictator thing. Okay, so then on the other side, on the inverse, there's another movement, and I see this because I'm in a lot of these circles. In fact, I'm mentioned in some of these articles about Christian nationalism. Now, I don't have nearly enough time to go through all this, but I just want to alert this. Steve Bannon's been doing great work to raise the atmospherics of this and to raise the awareness of what's happening. But this is a targeted campaign for books, articles, op-eds, media to try and scare people about the rise of alleged Christian nationalism. Now, we have TPUSA Faith, which is the largest pastor. That's Lorene Powell Jobs, by the way, right there. Steve Jobs' widow. You should all be familiar with her. She's worth $20 billion. She pumps in money into the stuff like you wouldn't believe. She's one of the most powerful Democrat donors that people have never heard of, alongside of Reid Hoffman from LinkedIn, Mark Benioff from Salesforce, Sergey Brin, Larry Page, Mackenzie Bezos. Mackenzie Bezos and her are like soul sisters for the destruction of the country. You could put Lorene Powell Jobs and Mackenzie Bezos side by side, and you say, sister, sister, you got a problem, because they are spending tens of billions of dollars to destroy the country. Okay, thank you. So anyway, this Christian nationalism thing, they're accusing this guy, Tim Alberta, who is an award-winning journalist, staff writer for The Atlantic. It's an op. Lorene Powell Jobs fund. So that here, The Atlantic is the source of all this. You have to understand. So Lorene Powell Jobs, $20 billion, Emerson Collective, you know, friends with McKenzie, friends with Soros, they all coordinate. But Lorene, again, it's not her, but it's her team. They are workshopping the two intellectual attacks via this ecosystem. And they all come from The Atlantic. Okay, Trump is a dictator. They have like 9 articles. Can you show that, guys? The Atlantic. And then you have this guy, Tim Alberta, who is doing the whole media circuit. Again, you know when someone is regime appointed because he's on every show saying this over and over again, play cut 62.
I think, you know, what you're sort of getting at here is Christian nationalism, right? I haven't read the book yet, but I read the piece that you put out in The Atlantic about it that ended with the pastor who took over for your father, who was trying to fight the takeover of Trump in the church. You asked him what's happened to the evangelicals in America, and he said they love America too much. It's like is that what we're dealing with here? Is this what the evangel, or at least for some evangelicals that are supporting Trump, morphed into Christian nationalism?
So Tim Alberta continues, we're going to do an entire show about Christian nationalism. Very clearly, I'm a Christian, I want a free society, and I'm a nationalist. They're trying to combine those two terms to create a dog whistle. They're trying to call you a Nazi without saying it. Don't fall for that. But yes, I am a Christian, I am a nationalist. I reject what you're insinuating. I want a free society, and I want a strengthening and a revitalization of the Constitution. I want a free society. I want the promise of the Constitution, period. That's the answer. Now, Tim Alberta is an op. Tim Alberta is an Atlantic op. Now, how much is he being paid by Lorene Powell Jobs? We don't know. But he has this fake piety. And of all the things that I see in public media, I hate is fake piety. I can't stand it. Well, he says, well, you know, we need to just worry about our spiritual life. Then why are you going on MSNBC next to these clowns? And the Atlantic simultaneously has these articles. The climate can't afford another Trump presidency. How Trump gets away with it. 4 more years of unchecked misogyny. The specter of family separation. Loyalist lapdogs and cronies. And they also, that's the Atlantic. So if you want to know the inside baseball of what is happening in high society Democrat donor circles, the Atlantic is workshopping the ideological ecosystem. Not necessarily the ballot chasing, and that's separate. That is related, but it's separate. But the ideological narrative attacks stem at the top of the tributary, it's the Atlantic. The Atlantic is what Twitter has become for the incubator of high society elite opinion. And they're broadcasting their play. They're showing their play very clearly. And Lorene Powell Jobs pumps money into it. And the new attack vector, again, we don't have time to get into this at this point, but we're going to workshop this whole thing because we work with thousands of pastors at TPUSA Faith. I've spoke at hundreds of churches. And I'm telling you, it's coming because Christians are waking up, churches are waking up, and it's amazing to see is they are trying to smear the faithful as Christian nationalists and scare moderates that Trump is going to be the new Julius Caesar. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting. Because life's too short for a bad hire.